Welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Series. Joe interviews Craig Fort, president of Fort Communications Incorporated. At the age of 18, Fort started his first successful company while in college. That whet my appetite for making business building and marketing my life's passion, Craig says. After attaining his bachelor's degree in business from the University of Arizona, Fort spent his next years marketing corporate jet aircraft with Gates Learjet Corporation in Tucson, Arizona. Desiring to further build his business building knowledge and skills, he received his master's degree in business administration from the University of Southern California, where he was honored by the esteemed USC Entrepreneur Program for the best business plan submitted. By the age of 27, Fort was named president of Old Tucson Company, a famous Old West film studio and the second largest paid attraction in the state of Arizona. In just 3.5 years, he transformed the struggling $4.8 million company to over $8 million in sales, with record profits exceeding $1.8 million a year. Today, with the creation of two more multi-million dollar companies under his belt, Craig focuses his energies toward helping real estate and business professionals optimize their growth and profits and achieve success beyond their expectations. His acclaimed Three Steps to Six Figures business building system is now used by more than 3,400 real estate and business professionals worldwide. Outside of his publishing and direct marketing projects, Craig manages an active consulting, coaching, and seminar schedule, all revolving around sharing his unique three steps formula he spent over 24 years in the real world perfecting. Now, let's join Joe as he interviews Craig over the telephone.
Hello, friends and clients. This is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing, and welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape Series. Today, I've got my good friend and marketing genius, Mr. Craig Fort, on the line. He's in Tucson, Arizona. I'm in Tempe, Arizona. Although we're pretty close, we're still extremely busy. And I thought it was time that I interviewed Craig because he is extremely intelligent and knows a lot about business and has taught lots of people how to be very successful. And he's going to do the same today on this interview. Can you hear me pretty good, Craig?
Yeah, I can hear you, Joe.
Great. Well, first off, thanks for taking the time to do this interview. I know you got a lot to share, and I'm looking really forward to getting into it.
Pleasure's mine.
So let's do this. There's a million things I could talk with you about, Craig, because every time we get together and we brainstorm, we always come up with fantastic stuff. I really want to focus specifically on the three-step system that you teach many of the people that you've sold information products to and a lot of the things that you use to build your business up successfully. So you tell your students and other people in business that they're not in the business that they think they're in, and I'd like to ask you why.
Well, this is something that a lot of good marketers really understand. I know that you understand like I do. And that is that knowing everything about your business, and I, for example, my market is real estate agents. I have a few commercial brokers and a few mortgage lenders. But what I tell my agents is that knowing everything about real estate is not going to make you a successful realtor, that real estate is simply your product. And it's unfortunate that what traditional belief is, and we're all programmed this from the time we enter an industry, is that you got to become an expert at what you do. And that's really important. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go out and become a great realtor and get the designations, or that you shouldn't become an excellent carpet cleaner or, you know, excellent veterinarian for that matter. But the reality is you can't imagine how many realtors I have who have all the designations and all the training and spent years to do this, and they're absolutely flat broke. They're dying on because of one reason. What they have failed to realize is that they're not in the real estate business. They are in the business of getting and keeping clients, not just one time, but for the life of their business. And so I always tell people, look, you're not in the real estate business. You're in the business of accumulating relationships. You're in the business of real estate marketing services, not just the real estate business. And I think that's really critical for anybody who's in business to understand.
Yes, and you know, of course you already know this, but I am continually surprised how many people cannot get that through their heads, even when they've been exposed to it at a certain level, which actually most people don't, because this is not something that you're taught anywhere except by, you know, bright marketers and business people that understand this. That was one of the first paradigm shifts that occurred to me when I was running my carpet cleaning business is, hey, you know, I'm not in the carpet cleaning business. I'm in the marketing of carpet cleaning services, which in reality I'm in the marketing business. And that discovery totally changed my life and the way that I look at things, and every one of my students that I've taught along the way has learned the same thing. I mean, when I first started out in business, I'd gotten training, I'd gotten certifications, I had gotten a lot of knowledge on technical skills and certificates that supposedly held me out as a professional, but there's no relationship between, you know, having all of that and actually translating that into money until you first figure out out fundamental business rules, very much focused around marketing and such.
And that's exactly, and one of the most important marketing axioms or marketing concepts that someone can understand is, I tell my agents this when we're doing coaching and things. I say, you know, look at your business as a great big funnel. And what most people look at is at the top of that funnel is this great area of space above it. And that space represents all the potential people who could be your clients. Now, through your marketing, through your front-end marketing, which is lead generation or yellow pages, whatever you're using to do your front-end marketing, somehow, some way, you get people to start coming down that funnel. And by the time they hit that funnel, that's when you're delivering your services. And what happens with most businesses, though, is when they get through that funnel and they drop down below it, rather than have a jar under there or something to encapsulate them and keep them forever, and this is especially true in my real estate industry, is that they let those people drop out. And they let those people drop out because most people think that the way you grow a business is just by generating new clients. It's sort of this single transaction orientation, and it's most prevalent in the sales industries, whether it's mortgage lending or real estate or investment sales and things like that, that the sales mentality is, I'm going to get it now, and then I'm off and running for the next one. And what people fail to realize is that the ticket to your next sale just walked away with your previous one. And that if you want to get future business, your best chances are marketing to the people who you just did business with, because all of business is about building relationships. And we can talk about this a little bit further down the line. But up front, I want people to understand that I don't care what business you're in. It really doesn't matter. The reality is that you will get to a point that I call critical mass, which we can talk to in a little bit, where you've generated enough momentum and built enough relationships with people whereby your income and your revenue and your business not only gets consistent, but it continues to grow almost automatically year after year. It's a phenomenal concept, but to understand it all, you must realize that the purpose of your business is to get and keep customers, both get and keep, not to just do single transactions or spend all your money in upfront marketing and let them go by the wayside.
Absolutely. I completely 100% agree with you. You're totally right on, and I love the analogy with the jar underneath the funnel. That's a great way to look at business. And, you know, I have constantly harped on my clients to get away from the mentality of one-time shots, and that, you know, the easiest time to make an additional sale or get a referral is right after you just please somebody, and you want to keep that relationship going. And if your constant focus is, you know, the next transaction, that will never happen, because you can never build a long-term business based around that model without continually having to rely on an enormous amount of sales activity and dealing with all kinds of new clients. Because if you nurture and develop a relationship with a group of people, they will continue to give you money and give you business and feed you referrals, and that's the best, most profitable type of business model that you could ever build, and you have to be marketing focused in order to do that.
That's perfect, Joe, and in fact, one of the things I think, I don't know where I saw it, but it was a Direct Marketing Association or wherever, but it said something like that it's 16 times more profitable to market to your existing clients and those who know you than it is to generate new business. And the unfortunate thing is most business owners just don't think of that. They're always after the next transaction. They're always hopping out trying to get the new client from sources that are the most expensive, most time-consuming, least productive way, but you got to do it to grow your business, yet they forget about the whole back end.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I tell people constantly that, you know, the only time that you will lose a client to a competitor is when you allow your competitor to pay more attention to your clients than you do. And most businesses, unfortunately, they neglect their clients. And they talk about good customer service, and they talk about staying in touch and building relationships, but it's one thing to talk about it versus actually doing it. So I appreciate your input. You're totally right on. Now, let's move into your three-step formula. You say that any business can be built by understanding a simple three-step formula, and I'd like you to explain to the listeners what you actually mean by that.
Well, I think when people first see what I'm talking about here, it's a little bit hard to believe that actually building a business could be simple, because there's a lot that goes into the three-step formula. But the reality is that any business, I don't care what business you're in, whether you're a carpet cleaner, whether you sell to auto salesmen or you sell to real estate agents, or I don't care what business that you're in, bottom line is that any business can and will be built by using only three simple steps. And let me go into that just for a second so that the listeners can understand that. And then maybe when you understand this distinction, anytime you're doing marketing or anytime you're strategizing to build your business, you'll think of one of these three steps. And it takes all three steps. The ultimate place I want everyone to be is step three, which is the point I just told you about called critical mass, where you're generating your business almost automatically from the relationships you have and the combined marketing systems that you have in place that are all working to bring in new business.
Right.
But let's start, first of all, there are really only three ways that a business can grow, and that is this. You can get more customers, and that's a no-brainer. The problem is that's all most people spend their time on, and quite frankly, I'm going to be real upfront with you, that's the most difficult way to generate new business. But why do I tell people to do it? The reason why I tell people they need to do it is because anytime you need to penetrate a new market, whether it's a carpet cleaning market or a real estate market or whatever, you got to spend the effort up front. You've got to go out and get that business, and sometimes it's expensive. And quite honestly, the reason why it's expensive, the step one strategy, the reason why it's expensive and it's probably the least effective strategy is because people don't know you. They don't have a relationship with you. And when people don't know you, they don't trust you. We're just natural skeptics as we go about our lives, because everybody's trying to sell you something. You're getting bombarded with thousands of messages every day, and people have this natural mistrust of what people say. And so it takes an awful lot of time and energy and money to go out and capture a market to get them to just believe you and trust you and do business with you. It's just an enormous, difficult task to do. But it's important to do. And I'll tell you something. There is one distinction that I got from knowing people like yourself and Dan Kennedy and Jeff Paul and those, and that is the average Joe Blow out there who's in business and is out there trying to generate new clients is losing money hand over fist because they don't understand the accurate and profitable ways to generate new clients. And what I'm talking about is the lead generating strategies and understanding direct response and understanding the elements that persuade and influence the human mind. Once you understand those, you can now start doing front-end client generation a lot more profitably, if not very profitably. I know, Joe, you in our businesses, we do it profitably. And in some businesses, for example, like the mail order businesses and the Red Cross, for example, they'll go out and they'll generate a client and they'll lose money on it. And people say, well, my goodness, if you're losing money on the front end of your business, why are you staying in business? Well, the reality is they've understood the importance of critical mass in the back end of their business. And so they can take a huge loss up front, you know, on generating a new client. But the reality is down the road, they're making that many, many, many times over. So that's step one, is generating new clients. Step two is something that most people don't really think about. And it's actually strategies for generating more volume per transaction. And what I mean by more volume per transaction, let me give you an example. A perfect example of more volume per transaction, I'll tell you a little story that happened with one of our real estate agents. I got a call, and this is a woman who she operates out of South San Francisco, and she got our system, and she really took to this step two thing. And what she did was she realized that when she takes a listing, for example, what she realized is that she has a great marketing tool in that listing, and she knows how to attract buyers because buyers are going to constantly go to that listing. They're going to go by and read the signs for sale. They're going to go by and read the info, you know, look in the info tubes, and they're going to read the classifieds. And if real estate agents know how to market off of those by using lead generation, the techniques we teach them, then they're going to be able to, literally, this lady has turned one transaction into an average of three. So if she says, geez, I got one listing and it's going to make me $4,000 when I get my commission, I've now turned that into $12,000 because I know how to get more volume per transaction. I think the best example of getting more volume per transaction that I've ever seen and was actually pioneered was Taco Bell. What they realized was that, you know, I can sell you a taco and a Coke and I'll charge you $1.50 for it, and that's fine. But what they also realized was that they can sell you a taco and a Coke and a burrito and discount it as a volume meal, as I think they call it value meals, and even though their margin of profit diminished slightly because they packaged it together, which blew the corks up in the accounting department, I'm sure. What happened was the actual dollar profit per transaction went up like 20-30%. And so what most people don't realize is that once you have a client, even if you're a carpet cleaner, once you have a client, you're going in to give them the service. They've actually raised their hand and they've said, hey, look, I'm ready to do business with you. I trust you enough to come in and give me a bid or do this job or whatever. You've now built a relationship. They've opened themselves up to having you deliver services to them, and they're now trusting you. Well, what most people don't realize is that there's a lot more services that you can give to those people and help those people with that you're not doing right now, and you need to identify those areas. And for example, the value pricing is a great example. The Taco Bell that could easily be used in the carpet cleaning industry. I use it with my clients in the real estate industry. There's not a business around that once they understand that once you have a client, you can maximize that volume, that dollar transaction, every time you do business with them. So that's the second way of doing business.
Yeah, well, let me talk to that for just a minute. Well, first off, let's be straight here. Don't you think that the success of Taco Bell has to do with that little chihuahua?
Well, yeah, I kind of think so. It's pretty nice.
I mean, it's not the package or anything. It's that little dog.
There's nothing like brand awareness.
Actually, obviously, listeners, we are just kidding. No, yeah, that's a great example. And speaking to, you know, packaging, for instance, that's exactly what I teach all my clients that are members of Piranha Marketing to do, is to package up their services. And I always use the analogy of if you have any type of business where you could bundle or package or cluster or whatever terminology that you want to describe it as, so you understand how to take multiple products or services that you offer and cluster them together in order to offer them to people at once, not only for a higher price point, but also it's easier for a consumer to think in terms of packages than it is selling things a la carte, onesie, twosie. That's a huge mistake that a lot of people do, is they sell things a la carte when they could bundle up things all together for a higher price point. And what I teach many of my cleaners is you just simply sit down with a notebook in a library, and this applies to any business. It doesn't, you know, matter what business you're in. Anyone could come up with this. I mean, you'd be really hard-pressed to throw any type of business at me that I couldn't figure out a way to teach them how to increase their average sale or their, you know, packaging of their services. And, of course, the same goes with you, Craig. This is, you know, because we understand this. In the area of, like, cleaners, for instance, is to get out a notebook, go to a quiet place like the library, list every single service that you offer, and then come up with several different choices for consumers. You know, we in the cleaning industry, we'll call it a budget package, a value package, a premium package. It could be called bronze, silver, gold. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that you can look at it. And if you were to go into a store and you want to purchase a stereo and you were to purchase everything separately, like the CD player, the tape player, the amp, the speakers, and you had to buy all that stuff separately, you know, a lot of times it's a more difficult decision than if they just put together an entire rack system for a certain price point and sell it to you all at once. So you're not only positioning yourself to get a higher average sale, but you're also making it a lot easier for the consumer to make a decision of what it is that they actually want. Because really, that's all consumers want anyway. They want someone to advise them that they can trust, which is, that's what you need to do. You need to establish trust and rapport with people, and so much of that is done through the marketing. And then you just present them with, you know, different options, and even going into maintenance and stuff, which I'm sure you're going to talk about the next thing. So I just wanted to throw in my two cents on that. And
that's brilliant. And to use the metaphor that I used earlier about the funnel, you know, what happens here in step two is people have just entered the top of that funnel and they're coming down that funnel, and that's the place where you're delivering your services, and that's the place where you have the ability to maximize the transaction value. See, as soon as they break the top of that funnel and they're now doing business with you, they're trusting you to deliver and give them a lot of things, you know, to deliver your services. And what most people fail to realize is that, well, what most business owners fail to realize is that people are only calling on the service that they called on, when in reality there may be a lot of other ways that you can deliver and continue to fulfill the desires or the needs of the clients that have called you. As soon as you've broken that trust barrier, that's the key there, is to break that trust barrier and get that relationship going.
Exactly. I mean, it's real similar to kind of what you just said. It's like inviting somebody into your home, and you can take them to, you know, any room of your choice that you can lead them into, and some rooms have, you know, $500 transactions, other rooms have $100 transactions, some rooms have $10 transactions, and some rooms probably have, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20 transactions. It all depends on what room you decide to take them into and how you arrange your packages and your services and stuff.
That's right. And the funny thing is about this, Joe, is that it's incredibly easy to do if you just focus on it. I mean, when real estate agents realize, when I tell them, and I'll use this example because my industry is real estate, but when I tell them that you've just taken a listing and why don't you just put up an info tube flyer and offer a list of special reports available for buyers or whatever and motivate them to give you a call, and all of a sudden they do it, and they're literally spending $25. I mean, literally, how many copies can you make? 5 cents a piece, $25. That's a ton of copies. And all of a sudden they're generating two and three and four deals off of one listing. If the whole thing here is maximizing the transaction value of every transaction that you do, very, very, very important. And that's really what we call step two strategies. It's also something I call compound prospecting. And we can talk about that a little bit more in a minute.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to talk about compound prospecting.
But the third thing that I talk about, which is step three of our system and step three of this business building model, is probably the most important step of the whole process. And what it is increasing the frequency of transactions. See, you've got your customer, they've broken the trust barrier, they're now in the funnel. And what happens, I mentioned earlier, is they go through the funnel and they just fall out in this abyss. Most people, I really mean this, and you've got to get out of this single transaction mentality, because that is the surest way to go broke. I tell people, could you imagine if a restaurant opened up and whether the food was bad or their marketing was so bad that people only went there once? What happens to restaurants when people only go there once? They go broke. They're out of business in almost no time.
Exactly.
What you've got to get is repeat business. You've got to constantly get the customer back in. And that's what step three is all about. It's probably the most important place you need to be in any business is to have. Let me give you an example, Joe. Let me talk about this just for a second. I'll give you an example relating to real estate. Anyone in any industry can work the numbers here. I don't know if any of your listeners know this, but the average person in this country owns their home about 5.5 to 6 years. And this is something that when real estate agents figure out, it just knocks them over. And I tell them, if the average person in this country owns their home about 5.5 or 6 years, let's say you had a network. Now, I'm not talking about a farming area or, you know, going out in the market for cold leads and generating new clients. I'm talking about a network of people who either knew you or knew of you, the size of about 600 people. And a lot of agents fall over thinking that's a lot of people to have, but you and I both know that 6 months to maybe 8 months for most agents. I have some agents that develop networks over 1,200 people in the first year using a lot of different strategies we teach them. But think about this. If you want to really know the impact of critical mass in your practice, or what I call step three, the average homeowner owns their home 5.5 to 6 years. If you had a network that you communicate with and that you market to on a regular basis, who know you or know of you and will regularly think of you when they're thinking of buying or selling a home, divide that 600 people by the average length of time someone owns their home, which is 6 years, and what does it come out to? It comes out to 100. Divide 600 by 6 years. That means that when you're marketing to these people on a regular basis, you're opening yourself up to 100 transactions a year, and that doesn't include referrals. This is just direct business, statistically speaking, directed right off of your personal network.
Right.
And yet most people let this completely fall by the wayside. Now, let me tell you something. 100 transactions to a real estate agent where the average commission is $400,000, $4,000, comes out to $400,000. That's a lot. Now, I know a lot of agents and different people in business will say, yeah, but you're not going to get all those 100. Well, of course you're not going to get all those 100, but when it comes time to buying or selling, who do you think they're going to work with? The person who they know and they trust? Or the person who cold calls them over dinner time and aggravates them and disturbs their family? I mean, this is really critical. Now, let's say you're in the carpet cleaning business. There's got to be statistic numbers about how often people get their carpets cleaned. And I'm sure in different markets, different industries, like commercial industries or restaurants or whatever, that number changes dramatically. It's pretty active. And so you could sit down and say, listen, if the average restaurant gets their carpet cleaned once a week, how many restaurants do I need to have in order to, or how many people in a certain market do I need to have in order to make my business continuous, I mean constant, as the sun rising, every single day, every single month, every single year? What you need to do is work out those numbers, and I call that the critical mass number. It's the number at which you are generating so much business off of your marketing momentum and the people who know you that your income becomes automatic. You and I both know, Joe, there are businesses around that are generating that, and everybody says, geez, I wonder how they're generating all that business almost automatically. They hardly do any advertising, they hardly do any of this, and yet they're generating all this business. I'll tell you why it is. It's because there are enough people in the markets where they market to that think enough of them in a positive light that they readily use those services when they're thinking of using them. I mean, that's the key, and that's where you want to be in any business. That's the lazy man's way to riches, not to quote Joe Carbo, but it really is.
You're absolutely right. Let me talk about that for just a moment, too, because I just recently did my one-day marketing boot camp where we made an entire annual business plan for everybody, and we taught them this exact concept of increasing the frequency. And you take the cleaning business, and this applies to any business that you're in, and it's a step above packaging your services, because not only are you packaging your services, but you're putting people on what, you know, many marketing people call continuity or till for bid.
Right.
Till for a bid program, and that basically, you take a carpet cleaning sale, and say, you know, a lot of my clients, they would have an average sale of anywhere between, you know, on the low end, maybe $100, to I have cleaners that have really embraced all this marketing stuff, that their average sale is, you know, upwards of $350, $400 a job. And now, someone that has never sold like this would think, my God, how could somebody get that much money? But you take the concept of, you know, increasing the frequency, and the best way to do that in the cleaning industry is putting people on a maintenance program. And you can go into a home and put somebody on a $40 a month, for instance, maintenance program. In a year's time, that sale ends up being $480 in a year's time. Well, what you're doing is you're getting money from these people on a monthly basis, automatically charged to a credit card. And you don't have to continue to resell these people as long as you keep them happy and they stay on the program. And you get 100 people at $40 a month, that's $4,000 in revenue that you've just added to your business that is ongoing.
That's brilliant, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. You put 1,000 people into that, you just added $400,000 to your revenue, and this is the most profitable thing that people can do in the business that they're in, the cleaning business that they're in, and it's amazing how many people don't focus on this. And it's finally, I mean, my most profitable clients are really starting to understand this, and they're spending the time to implement everything that we've already designed for them in this particular area. But this applies to any business could do this, and it is so profitable. And once you've got people continually frequently using you, not only do you make more money off of them, but because the relationship is so strong, you'll get the most referrals out of those types of clients.
I can tell you, Joe, that if anybody listening to this tape in any business that they're in, you know, if you're in your car or whatever, when you get finished this, when you get a chance to sit down and work some numbers, sit down and look at some of these numbers like I did for the real estate industry and Joe does for the carpet cleaning industry, and pick a market that you can go after that's big enough, and realize how many of those people do you need to generate as clients before, given the average transaction values and things, and this information is available for just about every industry, how many of them do you need to have before all of a sudden you're basically on a gravy train? And then you can leverage off of that and grow as big as you want, but you've created a foundation of revenue and profits in your business that's not only consistent, but in the real estate industry what happens is once you get a certain size network, and I'm sure this is true in the carpet cleaning industry or any other industry that anyone's in that's listening to this, once you get a certain size client base and you deliver a good product to them and you keep the close relationship with them, what happens is it's like a snowball rolling downhill. As the snowball gets bigger, it starts rolling faster, and as it starts rolling faster, it starts getting bigger. And what happens is that as your client base starts getting bigger and your network base starts getting bigger, it starts to spin off more referrals, which is starting to grow itself. And as it starts growing bigger, it starts building faster. And that's the whole point I mean by critical mass. It's creating this inertia of new business because people know you, they trust you, you have a relationship with them, and you've cultivated them. The problem is most people, A, don't know the numbers that they're trying to reach. In other words, how many people do I need to have in my network? Like if I was a real estate agent, I'd say, geez, I need to have 600 people in my network my first year. That means I need to add 2 people a day. And so if I can get to that point, I guarantee you, you'll be doing 40 to 60 transactions minimum every year, and that's just off that network.
Yes.
And that's $250,000 a year. So, I mean, that's pretty good money. So everybody needs to sit down, work the numbers, figure out how many people you need to put in that jar. Remember I told you about the funnel? The funnel, I want you to put a jar under that. Better yet, Dan Kennedy has a great axiom. He calls it a steel trap. And put them in that, or steel cage, rather. He says you get them in that steel cage, and you don't let them go. The problem is most people are kind of lazy with their contact. You know, they're not ready and willing to make close contact and share the inside of their business and offer them new services and things like that. And I think it's a darn shame because that's what people are looking for.
Exactly.
We live in a society, Joe, where we're just ostracized from each other. You know, things are getting further and further apart. And what we're all really looking for, we're looking for intimacy, we're looking for relationships, we're looking for people that we can trust because we're all really looking for security. And the only place we really find security is in ourselves and our relationships with other people. And so if you're in a business and you're developing your back end and you're nurturing customers, you are writing your ticket to any size income that you want if you just work these numbers, cultivate the people, keep in close contact, and systemize this process. It is. I'm being kind of theoretical here, and we can talk about more specifics, but it's so important for people to understand it. Literally, in real estate, it's so important that I've never seen a successful realtor survive in this business who does not do that. That if you constantly, if you're constantly relying on cold calling and cold doors and front-end marketing and spending money and all those expensive ways to generate clients, at the neglect of the people who know you or know of you, what is it? The statistic is 75% of people are out of business within the first 3 years in this industry. Well, it's the same way with any business, that you can write your ticket this way, and if you don't do it, your chances of success or of ending the struggle of growing your business will never end.
Great, Craig. That's awesome advice. Do me a favor. Do a simple recap of the three-step formula.
Okay. Anybody who's listening to this tape, when you're thinking of growing your business, you're saying, geez, what am I going to do to bring more revenue or increase the growth of my business or get my life back so I can get more consistent earnings and do other things and systemize my business? I want you to think that there are one of three ways that you're going to implement this. The first is you're going to say, geez, I'm going to go out and market and generate new customers. The second way is, well, once I get a deal, I'm going to start trying to maximize the volume per transaction. I'm going to do volume pricing, or I'm going to do whatever it might be, or I'm going to do packaging pricing, or if I'm a real estate agent, I'm going to learn how to market off my listings and buyers to generate more automatically without spending any extra marketing dollars. Or the third way is I'm now going to cultivate a relationship with my clients, and I'm going to try to generate more frequency of transaction. And I know a lot of businesses use, like if you go to the car wash, they always give you a bounce-back coupon, and they have better member packages and things like that. These guys are smart. They know what they're doing. And that brings a point, Joe, that I always want to bring up. Some of the best ways I get my best marketing ideas is when I'm going to get my car washed, I take a look at the promotions they're telling me. You know, when you drive up and you hate that person who's upselling you and stuff, they're trying to get you into the higher packages. I don't get pissed off. I just say no. But what I do is I listen to them. I watch their pitch, and I want to see, because these guys have been doing it a long time. Well, everybody who's listening to this tape ought to open up your awareness and go get sold. And rather than be turned off by getting sold, listen to what they're doing that you think is not so turned off and see if you can apply that into your business.
Exactly. I mean, you use like a McDonald's analogy. I don't know what the exact amount is, but they make millions of dollars more per year just by simply saying, would you like, a Coke with your Big Mac, or would you like fries with your Big Mac, or whatever it is. There's a script that they have. There's a line that they use, but it's a simple little ways to just increase the sale.
It is. And in fact, you're absolutely right. What it is, do you want fries with that? It's like, gee, it's a nice day, isn't it? Well, do you want fries with that? I mean, they have conditioned their people to upsell, upsell, upsell during the transaction. And there's also another point that Joe Sugarman makes in his tape, and I think he calls it the law of continuity, that the minute, this is really important, I talked about how someone drops through the funnel here, that the minute somebody makes their decision to do business with you is the opportune time to to maximize that transaction value with either an upsell with a package deal or upsell with something that's a special bargain. But I'm not telling you to go out and connive people or be dishonest with this. I'm telling you that you need to offer to them services in which you can bring more value to them. And this is a very legitimate way of doing business. And what you'll find is in the majority of cases, people are going to take you up on those offers, and you're going to make a hell of a lot more money, and they're going to be even more happy with the services that you provide. So I think that's a great concept. I just thought of this for the Joe Sugarman concept.
Yeah, well, you know, actually you made a point there too, which I tend to assume that anyone that is listening to my interviews has a certain background and understanding of, you know, the ethical use of packaging and increasing the average sale. But I will reiterate it since you mentioned it. You know, none of this is being stated to where you should go out and just try to extract money that ain't going to create any value for somebody out of people. I mean, every time that you ever sell anything, the only time you should or even deserve to get paid is when you create value for other people. And if you have more value that they have not taken advantage of, and you can create more value for them by offering them more services and bundling up, you know, more value into a package, then by all means, that's exactly what you should do, because not only are you going to enhance the relationship, but you're going to make yourself more money. And it's a common business sense that almost everyone does not pay attention to.
Joe, you're absolutely right on it, and that's a great point you bring up. And I have to tell you, the reason why people don't pay attention to it or don't take action to it, I know in my industry, is it's fear. Is that a real estate agent who's a top producer, she sells $30 million worth of homes just herself. She told me something that one of the reasons why she's so successful is she has this ability to, with confidence, look people in the eye and simply tell them what to do. And yet most people in business, they think, you know, if I start sending something once a month to my clients, geez, I'm going to be a bothersome to them. And the answer is you're not. If I start upselling and giving them more services that they want to get, it's going to turn them off. They're going to think I'm selling them. But you're not. The reality is that you're in this business. You need to be a professional. You need to be a business person about it. You need to be an adult about it. And what you need to do is take your business seriously. And you need to help people and tell people what to do. You need to guide them to help them make better decisions. Unfortunately, a lot of people in their businesses just don't have the confidence to do it. All it is the cojones. You just got to do it. I mean, let's call it the cojone factor. Now we got a whole new program.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. Well, let's talk about your discovery of how consumers choose a product or a service.
This is really important. In fact, this one thing alone can make such a distinction in your business that I discovered. I have a college degree and a graduate degree, and I want to tell you something. You know, I took all these consumer behavior courses and all this crap that they just dished out on you. I mean, these professors, their whole job is to justify their position as a professor by putting out crap because all the other professors who don't know squat just listen to it. At any rate, I don't want to diss them too much. But
so I guess you're a huge supporter of higher education is what I'm getting?
I'm a supporter of higher education, but, it'll help you go get a better job, but it ain't going to teach you how to make money.
Well, let me kind of talk to you on that for just a moment.
Okay.
You know, Gary Halbert, who both me and you know personally, we actually did just recently a interesting three-way conversation with Gary, but he has a quote that he said that the most expensive type of information in the world is bad information. And yeah, I understand you're not slamming education, and there are many very useful and wonderful things that people can learn through college and universities and higher education and stuff. However, in my experience, and definitely I would believe in your experience also, you don't learn a lot of really great stuff on how to be entrepreneurial with higher education and stuff, and how to actually run a business. So I would agree with you with that point.
Well, what higher education does, and I believe it's a very good, valuable thing, is they teach you how to learn. And that's good because they teach you the disciplines of how to learn. The problem is most people who go through higher education, once they graduate, they think that's the end of their learning. And with a lot of people, it is. And I have to tell you, the most successful people I've ever met in this world, including you and people like Dan Kennedy and mentors of mine who are business people, they never stop learning. That graduation of college or graduation of high school or this kind of thing, most people think that's the end of it all. Well, that's the beginning. And it's the thirst for knowledge and the thirst for life that makes people successful. See, success is not just about money. It's about improving your overall quality of life. And by having a desire and a thirst for knowledge is one of those qualities that will always put you heads and tails above anybody else.
Totally.
But what we were getting into before we had that little discourse was, what we were talking about was I took a course called Buyer Behavior in college, and it was total crap. Everything they said was just total bull. And when I got out into the real world and I started finding out what really you need to do to make money and how to really figure out what people want, is I realized that there are three levels of consumer decisions. In other words, when people are thinking about buying something, they go through a three-level process. And now let me tell you this. This is really important, Joe, because I think every person who owns a business needs to understand this. The first highest level of decision is people make their decisions based upon who they know. Okay, and that sounds pretty simple. But what I'm getting at is that over 50% of decisions are made this way. Now let me ask you something. Let's say your car breaks, or let's say your dog gets sick and you need to take it to a veterinarian. Let me ask you, Joe, if your car broke or you need to get a tune-up, do you know who you take it to?
Yes, I do.
Okay. 50% of the people in this world world will make that decision. They didn't see an ad. They didn't read a sales letter. They didn't see a TV commercial. They made that decision because they already know who they're going to use. So when you're doing any front-end marketing, you've got to realize that you are not even hitting 50% of the market because 50% of the market has already made their decision. And it's the same in the real estate industry. I go out and ask people. They say, you know, 50% of the people out there already know who they're going to use.
Right.
And so let's assume, though, the second level is let's assume that you didn't know who you're going to use. Let's say you're new to a town and your car breaks and you need to get a good service supplier, but you don't know who to use. I'll tell you, when this happens to me, I get really frustrated because I'm like, there's so many scumbags out there who will rip you off and do crappy service. I want to know who's going to do a good job.
Right.
And so the second level of how a decision is made is someone's going to ask somebody else whose opinion they trust who they would use. And so the second level of decision is really related to who do I trust who can make a referral there. You know, do you know a doctor I could go to? Do you know a vet I could go to? Who can I go to fix my car? Whatever it is. Listen, just because you're in the carpet cleaning industry or the real estate industry, don't go thinking people make their decisions any other way. You and I both make our decisions the very, very same way.
Yep, you're right.
And then the third way, only, oh, by the way, on this second highest level decision, up to 35% of additional decisions are made this way. Now, let's work the numbers for a second. 50% of the people already know who they're going to use. Another 30, 35% of the people are going to go ask somebody, and this is without reading an ad, without reading an article, without doing anything. 85% of the market, essentially, let's say as little as 75 to as much as 85% of the market, has already made their decision either through referral or direct reference who they're going to use for their consumer purchase.
Yes.
Which tells me that the third, only when these two options are exhausted do people resort to ads, sales letters, yellow pages, and things like that. And so what I'm telling you, and this is one of the reasons why step one, what I call, you know, generating new clients, it's important, you got to be good at it, but that's why I tell you it's the least effective, least profitable way to build your business of the three ways. So you need to understand how people make their decisions and how important it is to cultivate this back end of your business. It's really, really critical.
Well, you know what I will say, Craig, and I've interviewed a lot of people, and I know a lot of marketing people, and as you know, I've invested, hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education, and that is one of the most succinct, easy to understand ways I've ever heard somebody explain this concept in a long time. I mean, so I just commend you. Everyone should rewind this tape and listen to what you just said there. So in reality, if we take the other front-end promotions and stuff and put them into Category 3, we're dealing with, you know, maybe 15 to 20% of the market out there, which goes to show, and I've got clients that will get, you know, 6% response, 10% response in some of the really killer marketing strategies and techniques that I teach, and some people think that, oh, they're not doing well, when in reality, that's phenomenal.
Oh, it's outstanding. It's incredible. You know, Joe, you just hit it right on the head with what you said, and I want people to pay attention to this. If you work the numbers and you understand consumer buyer behavior and how you and I purchase things, what you'll come to realize is that if all you do in your business is front-end marketing, if that's the only thing you're doing, then you are spending 90 to 95% of your time and money chasing only about 15 or 20% of the market.
Yep.
That is the most important thing you need to learn about marketing and about what we're talking about here and how people make decisions. This is really a critical point for people to understand.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. So is there anything you wanted to add to that? Because I definitely have some more questions that relate to this.
Well, the one thing I want to add to that is something that I call the ultimate marketing axiom for any business. And I sort of bring all this down into a funnel, into a highlight of what this is all about.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the ultimate marketing axiom then.
Boy, that sounds way too college. I'm sorry. Boy, don't hold that against me. That's terrible.
Did you come up with that term yourself? Or?
I just pulled it out of you-know-where just a few minutes ago. At any rate. But what I call it is the most important axiom, and it's this. You know, I always tell people that when you learn something really, really great and that makes a huge distinction in your life, what I tell people to do is, you know, you ought to tattoo it across your forehead.
Right.
So that when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth and you look yourself in the mirror, boom, that thing hits you, because we are creatures of habit, and you only, you know, you are what your habits have made you to be. And so if you constantly remember this ultimate marketing axiom, then it's going to dramatically change your life. So I don't recommend anyone tattoo it on their forehead, but do whatever you need to do to remember it. And it's this. The single greatest reason why someone will work with you or do business with you is because they either know you personally or they know of you in a positive light from a person or a source that they already trust. Okay?
Right.
And so what I'm telling everyone on this call is that stop trying to chase, you know, I tell realtors, stop chasing properties. I tell carpet cleaners, stop chasing homes. Stop, you know, doing these things and start chasing relationships. It's all about relationships. I would love to do a whole course and a whole agenda on nothing but relationship marketing, because it's so critically important in the livelihood and the future growth of your business.
I would totally agree with you. That's where all the money is, and that's where all the ongoing business is. And, you know, the fact is, if you're in a business that does no relationship marketing and you don't develop and nurture a relationship with people that will continue to buy from you and do business with you over and over again and refer you on an ongoing basis, then, you know, all you have is a continual treadmill of business frustration, in my opinion. It's just, you know, you're just on the treadmill, you know, chasing new people. You develop no relationships whatsoever. There's no bond whatsoever. So what this does, I guess I would say, is it creates a very strong bond.
That's what it does.
And you create your own little universe of people that you can take care of and that will continually feed you. And that's what the goal of any strong business should consist of.
And Joe, let me throw out a statistic that I don't remember where it came from. And I don't know if it came from the DMA or if it came from a seminar I heard it from, but it's always stuck in my mind, and it's this, that I think it was the DMA, I'm not sure, it was trying to determine what is the optimum frequency or time span of contact that will maximize your sales yet minimize the bothersome factor. You know, you don't want to be bothering, you don't want to contact people so frequently that they're bothered by your contact, yet you don't want to do it so infrequently that they forget about you. And I found that ultimate contact time was every 21 days, and that's incredible. People think that, anybody on this tape listening, when was the last time you contacted your clients? And the other question is how many people in the markets do you market to even know that you exist? How many of your clients even think about you once a month or once every 2 months or once every 6 months for that matter? And you'd be amazed. I mean, I have agents that start applying this, and they call me up and they say, I sent out this letter to my network, which, by the way, all it is your house list. And think of it no more than that. It's just your house list. But I have agents that go out and send out this letter to their existing network, and they say, my God, I sent this 200-piece letter out, and I took 6 listings and got 3 buyers. This thing was worth so much to me. Any business can do this, and it's so important for people to focus in on this in their businesses.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'd agree with that. I just recently, you know, sent out a tape that was actually a testimonial tape with one of my clients by the name of Robert Peters, and I would probably venture to say it's possible that he is the, for one truck operation, maybe the highest, you know, profitable carpet cleaning company maybe in the world. And this guy's doing $350,000 a year with one van, one employee, and he just added on another employee to help. And, you know, now, for people that are not familiar with the carpet cleaning industry, you know, they don't know what that means, what is like an average amount. I mean, $125,000 a year with one van is doing extremely well. And when I first started, you know, teaching marketing that allowed cleaners to obtain that amount of gross per year, you know, a lot of people in the industry question, oh, that's like impossible. And it kind of goes back to the whole, what's his name, Roger Bannister, the guy that broke the 4-minute mile.
Right.
And I believe, you know, now what we'll see in the industry do to this guy and my ability to, you know, tell other people in that industry about him, that we're going to see a lot of people starting to break, you know, this income level because, you know, someone else has done it and they've seen it happen. But the way that he's actually done it is ever since the beginning, and he's been with me for going over 5 years now, and he has sent out a newsletter every single month for about 5 years. Every month. So every month, Robert has sent out a newsletter, and he's stayed in touch with these people, and, you know, what he's found is it's not been too much contact with these people, and he is not only has one of the highest job averages of almost anyone in the industry, he gets a ton of referrals, and the referred clients are actually have a higher job average than the people that are not referred clients because he's developed such a bond with these people, and he has an extremely profitable business, and he doesn't have to have a ton of employees in order to do this. And this is a guy that used to have 64 employees. He used to run 28 different vans, and now through all the years, he's set up the type of business exactly the way he wants it, making the amount of money that he wants to make, and he has a really great, fantastic business because he's focused so much on database marketing and staying in touch with people. And if all of my Piranha members do the exact same thing and they develop the relationship and they send out client newsletters and they stay in touch with people and they understand the concepts that you so eloquently explain on how to maintain a relationship with their clients, everybody can make not only that much money, but a lot more. It's just really based on them. So that's all I wanted to say on that subject, and then I want to move on to a selection of a market. So is there anything else you wanted to add about it?
No, I would just say amen. I think that what you're talking about is absolutely correct, and that, you know, Joe, we as human beings, let's get out of our business suits for just a second, because we as human beings, the thing that we're all looking for in life is security and a predictability of the future. And it's really difficult, especially the industries that I'm in, the real estate industry and some of the more sales industry. The biggest problem is that there's no predictability whatsoever. And also in your carpet cleaning industry, I'm sure that people are looking at, all they want is really the knowledge to know that the future is going to be better than the past or the present. And there's no better way to create predictability in your business, even given recessions and everything else, than to have a very close relationship with people who will readily not only do business with you, but readily refer other people to your business. It's like, you know, if you have 1,000 people in your client base or whatever, and, or your personal network, if you're a realtor, for example, and you market to them regularly, that's like having a 1,000-person sales force out there that also does business with you and recommends your services.
Yes.
That's what creates the predictability of future income, and that's really what we're all looking for.
Exactly. I mean, you're the same. I'm the same. I mean, you take this Tape of the Month interview series that I'm doing and all the people listening to it, and this is kind of like preaching to the choir. Basically, my best clients are the ones that do the most business with me on the most frequent basis and that I stay in touch with them on a regular basis. Now, I'm creating value for people by delivering them information that's on a tape here, and people get this from me on a monthly basis. Now, you take, going back to Robert Peters, the guy I was talking about, this is a man that has been to almost every one of my seminars that I've ever done that have been specifically for Piranha members. He gets my newsletter every month. He's part of the program, my coaching program, which you're very familiar with because you also do a coaching program yourself.
Right.
And it's that, you know, for me, he's a great client because he does a lot of business with me, and I make money off of someone like him on a regular basis because he buys things. But on the other side of the coin, because of that relationship, he makes more money than all the people that don't do those things. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, what people need to understand, if you're creating value for people, the people that buy the most from you are also people that appreciate you the most and are also the happiest the most to do business with you.
Yeah.
People need to get that through their heads that, you know, someone that gives you a lot of money, as long as what they're buying is creating value for them, those are the best people in the world, and they're happy to do it.
Yeah, and they're the easiest people to do business with and they're the most pleasurable people to do business with. As I said earlier, we're all about relationships. We're all looking for a little more intimacy in this life that we live where everything is pulling us apart. And when we can do business with people that we really like, it's enjoyable. And not only that, you're making money and you're providing a predictable future for yourself.
Exactly. I mean, it's the best win-win situation that you could ever arrange. And why more people don't develop those win-win relationships with their client base is just beyond me. But after listening to this tape, I think we'll have a lot more people that will have a whole new perspective on this. So let me move to the next question, which is, you tell your clients that the selection of the correct market is at least 50% of the success or failure of the marketing battle. And I want you to explain, what do you mean by that?
Well, this has a lot to do with step one. Whenever I say step one or step two or step three, what I really mean is step one is generating new clients, step two is generating more volume per transaction, and step three is generating more frequency of transaction. But this has a lot to do with both step one and step three. And I say to people, this is something I've always remembered, and I kind of came up with it myself, and I say, it's not too difficult to sell a glass of water to a man dying of thirst in the desert.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
A lot of times people are out there choosing markets for absolute capricious reasons, which are for no reason at all, and they're going out there and saying, this is who my client's going to be, and I'm just going to sell this widget to my client, and everything's going to be rosy. And I got to tell you, I'd like to put a pitch in here. I listened just, I think last week I just listened to the interview you did with Jeff Paul, and I think that anybody listening to this interview, if they don't call your office right now and get that, they're complete idiots, because that is the most succinct, best discussion I've ever heard on market selection. You see, the traditional thinking about selecting markets is that, geez, I'm going to make this widget, and then I'm going to go out and find out who to sell it to. And the reality is that that's absolutely backwards, even though that's the way 9 out of 10 people think about things.
Yes.
What you need to think about is people who have the desire. You need to find the guys who are starving of thirst in the desert, because then it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the best copywriter to sell them something and sell them your services. And I tell real estate agents to do the same thing when they're picking farming areas. But let me tell you this. You need to think of your business in terms of markets that you serve. And most businesses really only serve less than 4 or 5 markets. However, one of the things that very few businesses realize is that the single greatest market that you will ever market to is a market where people who know you and know of you, your past clients, your family, friends, acquaintances, the people who will readily do business with you. And I know that we've beaten that dead horse. But the reality is that you need to think of your business in terms of markets. And you need to study those markets in terms of what their peculiar desires are, how they want to buy, how they think, how they make their purchase decisions, and things like that. That's the reason why I tell people that 50% of the marketing battle or 50% of your success or failure in marketing is going to have to do with that specific market.
Right. Totally. I agree. Well, we did kind of, you did talk about it, but is there anything you'd want to add about compound prospecting?
Well, the one thing I would add about compound prospecting is you would be stunned and amazed at how many different ways you can increase the volume per transaction in your business. It's not just, you know, let's put some package deals together or let's market off our listings or whatever. In my program, I have something like 37, I can't remember, specific systems related to ideas and how to maximize the volume per transaction that you do. And I just, everybody needs to think about that. And most people only think about the idea of getting one new customer, and you're really doing your disservice. You're only marketing to 15 or 20% of the market when you're doing that. And so I tell people that you need to understand the next two. I call it compound prospecting because in my business, they're real estate agents and it involves a lot of sales. So it's a way that you can take your listings and make them prospect for you. It's like compound interest, where compound interest is where you earn money not just on the principal balance, but you earn money on the principal balance plus the accrued interest on your account, and it continues to grow and grow. And that's how you maximize your earnings with compound interest. This is like compound prospecting, where you leverage off of your listings and all your marketing activities to get more and more out of it. It's a kind of a similar concept, and that's where the name came from.
Right. No, it's great. Great. I'm glad you explained that. Now, you mentioned critical mass. I'd like to ask you, what is critical mass, and what are the three things that any business can do to practically guarantee that they're going to have a constantly growing income?
Well, critical mass is a concept that I termed because it was based upon the energy that you build in a business. And I tell people that building a business is a lot like an airplane taking off. I don't know if anyone listening to this is a pilot. My whole family are pilots, and I was growing up with pilots.
Are you a pilot?
Yeah, I'm a pilot. My dad was a naval aviator. My brother is actually the senior vice president of flight operations for United Airlines.
Well, you know, we'll have to talk off tape because I want to learn how to fly a plane.
Oh, okay, great.
Not that I should be telling anyone about that during this interview, In case I don't, then they can say that, you know, Joe didn't achieve that goal he wanted. But that's pretty cool. Anyway.
Like everybody's going to start living underground.
Yeah.
At any rate.
All right, what's the flight analogy?
Well,
then?
The flight analogy, or the metaphor I like to use, is that building a business is no different than an airplane taking off. And an airplane taking off, I don't know if any of you are familiar with this with jet airplanes and things, is that, you know, to get an airplane off the ground and to get that momentum built, it takes 110% power. Some airplanes actually overspin their engines and actually add more power than they would normally want to use just to get the momentum going and get that darn thing off the ground and into the air. And that's, I akin that to step one systems, that when you're trying to generate new clients, that it is difficult. You got to spend a lot of energy and a lot of money. And people say, well, then why the hell you tell me to do that? And I say, well, because you got to get the darn thing airborne, and that's the only way you're going to do it. In other words, you need to penetrate markets.
Right.
You think of these strategies. And it's less effective, but you need to learn how to become good at them. And that's why we teach you these methods of using lead generation and things like that. But once you get the airplane off the ground, they pull the power back. If you've ever been on an airliner, you take off, and as soon as they're off the ground and you're up at about 500,000 or 1,500 feet, you'll hear the engines come back slightly, and they'll only be at like 90% power. And that's where they grow and they climb all the way up to altitude. But what most people don't realize is that when you're up there at altitude flying an airplane, they're cruising at like 60 or 70% power. They're not spending 110% power because they've created that critical mass, that inertia. They're up there. They don't need to climb anymore. And you know that in most cases, like if you're on a short flight, like Joe, between Tucson and Phoenix, that three-quarters of the fuel that they use and the energy they use is used up in the first 10 minutes of the flight. It's amazing. And that's the time it takes to fly up to 18,000 feet, and then they pull the power back, and they basically glide into Phoenix. So I akin that to how you build your business. It's like the life cycle of how businesses are built. So that's essentially what that's about. Now, critical mass, I guess let's get out of the theory a little bit and the metaphors and talk a little bit about how do you create critical mass in your business. And I tell, in a broad sense, so that it will relate to everyone who's on this call, there are really three things you need to do to build critical mass in your business. Now, here's the one thing. Most people think that because I give a three-step formula, step one, step two, step three, that it's supposed to be sequential. But in every business, you need to be cultivating your back end or cultivating step three right up from square one. And what I tell people is there are really three steps for building your network. They're very intuitive and very similar, very easy to understand. The first is you need to build what I call your foundation of your network. And what that is that all it is a database or a way to measure who it is that's part of this network or these past clients that you're working with. All you need to do is get a database. If you don't have a database, use 3x5 cards, whatever it is. One of the reasons why most people never market to their back end is they just don't have a simple system in place where they can do it easily. If you create a database, most people tell me, well, what's the purpose of a database? And everybody gives all these different answers. My answer is, the purpose of a database is so that you can build a more personal, closer relationship automatically with a large number of people. With a database, you can do things like mail merge. You can sort out your list for, you know, if you own a clothier store, for example, you can sort out all the people who bought socks from you versus people who bought coats and ties versus people who bought shoes and things like that. And so it allows you to customize and specialize your house list. And all this critical mass thing is that we're talking about is how to create a house list if you look at it from a marketing standpoint. So everybody on this call, if you don't have a database, you need to get one. But there's some things you need to know about the database. One of them is, I think, the most important, even if you're a carpet cleaner, know what your people have bought from you. Okay? Did they buy a package deal? Did they have carpet cleaning services? Did you clean furniture? What is it that you did? Did you do a restoration? Because what you're doing now is you're allowing yourself to segment your house list. And the reason why you do this is when you have a promotion for carpet cleaning or for a restoration, you can pull only those people out who have bought from you before and market only to them. And thereby, you're maximizing your marketing dollars and maximizing your profits.
Yes.
So the first step is everybody on this call ought to have a database. And literally, you can buy one for $29, $39 in some of these office depots and things like that. They're very simple to use, and it's the first step to getting yourself up to critical mass. The second step to getting yourself to critical mass is to grow your network and grow your client base. And that involves a mindset as much as anything else. The mindset needs to be every single person that I come in contact with, whether it be personal or business-wise, needs to be coming down that funnel and captured in that jar or that steel cage. And that means that you need to grow your network. I tell real estate agents, look, if you add two people a day on business days only, you will have about 500 people in your database in year one. Within 12 months, marketing to them as closely as possible, you should be generating between 40 and 60 deals just off that group. Just statistically speaking, using the numbers I talked to you about earlier on this call, every business is like this, that if you grow your network to a certain size and you set a goal to have that size of a network and you market to them on a regular basis and you build that relationship, you will get to the point where you're going to hit critical mass and it's going to become a phenomenal marketing system for you. The third step to building your network is how do you cultivate nonstop referrals, repeat business, and word of mouth for your business? And that's where we get into promotions, sales letters, newsletters, regular contact that you need to do with your network once a month. I always say once a month. It's supposed to be every 21 days, but what I tell the average business owner is take out a calendar and circle the 15th day of every month. And that is the day that you're going to spend this day doing nothing but creating a newsletter or doing a marketing piece that's going to go out specifically to your personal network. And if you do that just one day a week and you go hire a mail shopper, you go have somebody else do the mail merge for you and you send those things out, I promise you it will be worth so much money to your business in terms of immediate income and future stability of income that you'll wonder what life was like before you did it. So that's really, really critically important. And in terms of cultivating nonstop referrals, there are things you need to do that I always talk about. We have seven things that I tell agents to do in my business, and I don't know if you want me to share those with you. I'll do them real quick if we have time.
No, please do. This is very good information.
Okay.
Well, actually, this is more than good information. Everything that you said is just critical if they want to set up a very profitable, much more pleasurable business. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Just hit it. The much more pleasurable part is really where it comes up to. I talk to real estate agents, and they talk about dealing with clients who they just met and stuff and how difficult it is. And then they talk about getting referrals, and they're like, oh, I love referrals. I know them. We like them. We have fun, that kind of thing. And it's always fun it's a hell of a lot more fun to have fun making money than it is making money or struggling with people who are not fun to work with. Sometimes they're new clients, so we can get to know you.
Exactly.
There are seven things I want to run by you I have outlined here that I want to share with the people on this call that I tell people to do. The first thing, and this relates to building critical mass in your business and working with your existing clients. The first thing I tell people is, develop your product and service guidelines. And I know, Joe, you're very good at this. You talk about wowing your clients with outstanding service. But you want to know something? 90% of wowing your clients is with communication and responsiveness. Did you know that? The thing that people hate, let me tell you, if your car breaks or it's in the shop or your electricity goes out or your phone bill's screwed up and you get thrown through some kind of a long loop of bureaucracy, that really pisses you off.
Because absolutely.
They're not being responsive. On the other hand, even if they can't fix your problem, but they call you back and they're always in contact and they're keeping you up to speed about what's going on, you always give them a break. I mean, let's face it. And so 90% of wowing your clients, especially in my business, has to do with your responsiveness and your communication with them.
You know what? Let me talk about that for just a moment, too, because I think this is such a crucial point. And I'll tell you the pros and cons of my business with doing that. Whenever we can respond to someone right away and get something to them, I mean, they are happy. They are absolutely ecstatic. And every one of those moments where we've completely screwed up or one of my staff has lost a message or a voicemail hasn't been responded to or whatever, you can take somebody, like, just in literally a matter of hours or sometimes days, depending on it, and you can take someone that is a very ecstatic, great client and turn them into someone that is extremely irritated because the responsiveness wasn't actually there.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I'm always on a constant strive to make sure we can be responsive and to eliminate any types of screw-ups and things like that, because I've seen firsthand when we do it right, which is the majority of the time, of course, because this is a major focus of my business is to do everything that we teach people how to do. You know, every time that I, you know, can focus on improving that aspect of the area, the business that I run is just so much more profitable. And every experience that I have where we cannot do that, it is just devastating.
Yeah.
And I can't reiterate how important this is and for people to actually think about this, because we are living in such a fast-paced society, you know, and there's a lot of options available to people. And if you make them wait forever, they don't like it. And you've got to do everything you can in order to be able to service people not only extremely well, but very quickly.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
That's why people go to convenience stores.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That in this world, we're looking for responsiveness, because a lot of times we go places and people just don't seem to care. And we want people to care about us. And so, you know, just be intuitive about how you feel about the world and then project that back onto your business. The second thing that I tell agents to do, and we'll cover these real quickly because there's so much we want to talk about on this call. The second thing I tell agents to do is set the relationship right at the client acquisition. Now, most people think, boy, I'm going to give my client a gift or send them a nice something, a coupon or a nice gift at closing. With real estate agents, sometimes they send really nice gifts. That's the wrong time to do it. Well, that's the right time to do it. You want to do it then. But if you want to have the greatest impact on securing a client, give them a gift and reward the choice they've made of doing business with you up front. Think about what you could give to someone, even a small little tiny gift, even something that gives a gesture to them that's a physical gesture that tells them, I really appreciate your business. I'm glad you came to our company. You know, most businesses are saying, dude, how do I differentiate myself from other companies out there? And this is just one of the great ways to do that.
Right.
Now, the third thing I want to tell you that we tell agents to do, and I'm sure it can work well with every business, is we teach them how to program for referrals during the transaction. Did you know that during a transaction, whether you're cleaning carpets or you're a veterinarian or you're a real estate agent, during the transaction is the most opportune time to generate referrals of other businesses, or I mean, of other clients, rather.
Right.
And one of the ways, everybody goes, yeah, but I hate begging for business. I hate getting on my knees and saying, hat in hand, saying, yeah, would you send me something? What I do is, the way you do it is you tell stories. And the best way is you tell a story about another client I had, and they were referred to me by so-and-so, and then this so-and-so referred this, and you kind of get them into the idea of what happened through a story. That's the technique I tell people to use, is teach your salespeople or teach your service people to tell stories or to generate referrals during the transaction. The fourth thing I tell people to do is have an immediate after-sale contact. And what I usually like to do is have a survey or have something that shows that you cared. And this is also the best time to generate a testimonial or the positive comment about your service from someone and that you can use it. I do it all the time in my business when someone buys one of my programs. Several times a year I send out a survey and I give them a little bonus for answering it. And I generate lots of testimonials, lots of good comments, and it tends to help build the relationship with the people I do business with.
Oh, well, I do the same thing. And, you know, with my clients, you take carpet cleaners, for instance.
Yeah.
I always, you know, immediately send people by mail a thank you,
yeah,
do a follow-up over the phone to say thank you and to also let them know about additional services, pass out a testimonial for them in order to get testimonials. And one of the latest things I've started doing, which is so easy, which I recommend everybody do, is collect the email addresses of every one of your clients, because you should immediately email them a thank you along with a referral suggestion to where they can forward the email off to anyone that they may know that might want to use your services. And so now I have all kinds of my Piranha members that are emailing thank yous and having their clients forward the message to their friends because I have them attach an offer to the email, and it's a nice added touch.
Yeah, that's brilliant. In fact, what no one realizes is that there's a little technique that some of your clients could use when they're making contact with their client base, and that is, what people do is they'll put in a referral card. It's just a business card that has, you know, if you'd like to refer anyone to our business, it has name, address, and no one ever sends it back. No one ever uses it. But just by having the card in the newsletter or in the mailing, it instantly makes them think about the referral, and they won't send the card, and they're just going to give you a call, but it's going to make them think about the referral. I call that an involvement device or a grabber that subconsciously works the mind and makes people think about referrals.
Yes.
Let me get back to this. The fourth thing was have an after-sale contact survey or letter or something like that. The fifth thing is, which people don't think about, is that, you know, we live in a society of quid pro quo, that there's reciprocation. And I tell people, give to get, that wouldn't it be a nice thing that if one of your clients is a chiropractor or one of your clients is owns a shoe store or something like that, that you actually make a referral to his business? Because what you'll find is that when you give to their business, they're going to always want to reciprocate back to you. And then the sixth thing I tell people is that you must acknowledge referrals, that if somebody sends you a referral, you must do something that is unique and different that acknowledges that referral. And I always say behavior that is rewarded is repeated, and that when you get people to send you a referral, make sure that you send them a nice gift, a personal note, or something like that. Systemize these things so that it happens almost automatically in your organization. And the final thing, which is the most impact that you can have in working your personal network, I call it, which is your past clients and your building critical mass, is you must have a regular contact system with your active clients, your sphere of influence, your network. There are really four types of contact management. There is transaction contact systems, such as how you communicate during the transaction, the gifts you give. There are calendar contact systems, which is, you know, on the 15th of every month, you should send a newsletter or a little card or a little letter to everybody. There are life event contact systems, which are, you know, contact them when they have birthdays or anniversaries or marriages or births or things like that. And then there's something I call the top 20% contact systems. Now, let me explain something. Just like with a list, if you were to buy a cold list, you're also going to find that about 20% of your clients are going to be what I call, and I learned this from Dan Kennedy, was that they're going to be hyper-responsive.
Right.
And you need to manage them a little bit different than the people who will just be out there. Anybody who sends you a referral or is actively involved in your business, you must treat them differently. You must treat them closely. One of the examples is there's an agent that I work with here in Tucson, and once a year she has a comedy club party where she invites everybody, all these people who have sent her referrals and are very close to her business, they go out to the comedy club, and they have a great time. They see a private act, and it's just an incredible night. And she gets all her mortgage lenders and everybody else to pay for it. She generates an enormous amount of business off of it in terms of referrals and repeat business and things like that. But I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but the one thing I want to tell all of you, anybody on this call, is your success in relationship marketing, in building this back end of your business, will be directly related to three things. The size of your network or the size of your client base. Okay? How big are they? How big is that jar getting when they're dropping down through that funnel? That's the size of it. The bigger that it gets, the more profitable it's going to be to you. But the second element that you must focus in on is the quality of the contact. Somebody who's just an acquaintance in your back end or in the critical mass or in your database is going to be a lot less profitable than somebody who sent you a referral or two in the past. That when people become responsive, they continue to be responsive when you reward the behavior. So what I like to do is I tell real estate agents to segment the people in your database by A, B, and C clients. The C people are the people who are just acquaintances, you know, they can do business with you at some point. The B people who are people who have done business with you in your past, that they're clients, and they haven't sent you a referral yet, but they could. And then the A people, you know, you can call them your power players, are the people who have sent you a referral in the past, and these are your top 20%. And those are the highest quality people in your network. So the second thing is the quality of your network. And the third is how frequently and personally you communicate with your network. So your success in relationship marketing is directly related to the size of your network, the quality of the people in it, and how frequently and personally you communicate with that network. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm even sitting there thinking about, you know, the people that do the absolute best out of my database, and I relate that to how, you know, since I am the one giving them marketing and business advice, the people that get on my coaching club calls every Monday for people that are members of my coaching club, in that personal contact, those are the ones that make, you know, the most money and do the best. And so it's just, it's just so true.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it.
Absolutely. Well, so let me go back to the airplane analogy that you had made to kind of tie together everything that you had just said, which is basically it's much easier to maintain momentum than it is to create it, just like the airplane uses so much fuel in the beginning. So the thing that I want to get through everyone listening is, you know, this may sound like a tremendous amount of work and you might have to rearrange things, but all the money and all the best lifestyle that you can create with your business is designed once you've built this foundation and once you've started the plane and you've got it up in the air, because at that point you can put it on autopilot, which I believe is the goal. And the next thing I want to talk to you about are marketing systems, and if you'd like to discuss marketing systems.
Yeah, I would. In fact, you know, just to follow up real quickly on a comment, most people spend their lives in business on the runway running their airplane at 110% power and never taking it off because they're only chasing the front end of their business. And they wonder why, after doing this for 10 years, they have heart problems, they're stressed out, their marriages suck, their kids are crappy, their lives are just miserable, and it's because you can't, it's just like an airplane. You can't run an airplane or an engine or anything at 110% power and expect it to last for long. And so if you're feeling that way in your business, if anybody on this call feels that way in their business, you really need to think about the step two and step three parts of what I'm talking to you about here, about building compound prospecting and building critical mass in your business and maximizing the volume per transaction and then maximizing the frequency of transaction. What you'll find is it's a hell of a lot nicer to fly in an airplane at 40,000 feet in the back at 60 or 70% power than it is to be sitting on the runway spending 110% power and wasting your life away.
That is so true.
Metaphor. But
you're absolutely right. I mean, that is such a good, solid piece of advice.
Well, what you just asked me was marketing systems, and I want to talk to you a little bit about marketing systems. Everybody on this call, I want you to picture your business like a wagon wheel, and you're at the center of this wagon wheel, and that your business, each one of the spokes of a wagon wheel represents a source of business. One of them might be a Yellow Page ad, you know, for real estate agents, might be cold calling or floor time or open houses or doing farming or whatever it might be. And what each one of those wheels are, what I'm trying to get you to do is look at your business as having different sources of revenue. And what you'll find is that maybe a third of the what you'll find is about 20% of the spokes are going to be front-end marketing, like, you know, Yellow Page ads or sales letters and things like that.
Right.
Probably another 20% are going to be step two, which is getting more volume per transaction, systems that you implement to do that. And then at least 60% of your wagon wheel is going to be made up of marketing to your back end. I tell real estate agents, I say you should be spending 60 to 70% of your marketing budget and marketing time marketing to the people who know you or know of you, because that's the highest quality list you can get. But what I'm talking about with marketing systems is, well, let me put it this way. If you have a wheel with only one or two spokes and one of those spokes breaks, what's going to happen to that wheel? It's going to collapse.
Exactly.
And that's the way most people run their business. They have one or two major spokes of business, and it brings it in, and God forbid there's a recession or something happens, and wham, that thing breaks, and the wheel collapses, and now you're sitting in the unemployment lines, or you're in bankruptcy or something else. I teach people to set up marketing systems. Now, what are marketing systems? Marketing systems are specific and proven marketing techniques that allow your business to get new clients almost automatically while you spend your time running your business. And the beauty of marketing systems is, I'll use the metaphor of a real estate agent. The only way you make money in real estate is by closing deals. If you're not face-to-face working with clients, signing on the dotted line, you have to think about what your job is in life. Your job is closing transactions, delivering services, and increasing the throughput of revenue in your business. Anytime you're not doing that, anytime you're not closing deals and cashing checks and signing the bottom line, is the time that you are working for free. And I know everybody in every business has to do different things. You know, real estate agents have to do things, and carpet cleaners have to maintain their trucks and do things. But you need to separate what's important from the unimportant in your business, and you need to prioritize what's important. And the most important thing is getting a predictable, steady flow of clients in your business.
Yep.
And that's why I tell people you need to systemize this, because if you have a yellow, let me give you an example. I know that, Joe, you teach people how to write killer Yellow Page ads, and I think it's a wonderful way, because a lot of people who don't know who when they're going to use a carpet cleaner, they will go to the Yellow Pages. And if you've got a Yellow Page ad that's pulling for you, that's one of the spokes. So you have that in place, and whether you're sleeping or whether you're traveling or whether you're doing whatever, that thing is continuing to bring in leads to your hotline or to your direct office, however you set it up, almost automatically. Well, you need to have 10 or 15 of those things going. And I have to tell you, I tell agents, 70% of those should be back-end strategies marketing to your existing clients. But that's what I'm getting at when I talk about marketing systems. And you have to think about how you spend your time every day, what's the most effective way, and stop working for free. That's the critical thing, and that's the point about marketing systems. I could go really into them about the different types of marketing systems, but if you follow the three-step plan and you say, I'm going to have 20% lead-generating systems to generate new clients, I'm going to have 20% compound prospecting, which maximizes the volume per transaction, and then I'm going to spend 60%, 50, 60, 70% of my time and efforts on cultivating my back-end clients, I promise you, you're going to see remarkable differences in your business.
Oh, I would agree with you. You know, talking about marketing systems and setting these up, I mean, this is the implementation of robotic marketing systems is what completely changed my business around.
Precisely.
Now, you know, when I first read the book, The E-Myth, which I recommend everybody read, it's got a very good message about systemization, although it doesn't necessarily talk that much about marketing. It's the whole mindset of creating a replicatable, consistent type of process in your business. I related that to when I was learning direct response when I first started, which is, you know, the most important aspect of business is making a sale, because nothing happens until a sale is made. You got to make sales in order to have revenue to do all the stuff that you're in business for in the first place. And as you know, so many people are in business have no focus on sales whatsoever. If a sales happens, it's kind of like my friend Gary Halbert says, you know, some businesses trying to make a sale happen is getting a shoehorn and trying to shoehorn in a sale because everybody's so focused on all the other nonsense. And when it comes to developing a marketing system, when I first started using 24-hour free recorded messages, consumer awareness guides, and I started taking all the communication that I would normally explain to people verbally, and I started popping that into print, you know, can it and clone it, which is what Gary calls it, where you can your presentation and you clone it through free recorded messages, sales letters, audio brochures, videos, education-based marketing in all kinds of different forms, editorial-looking, ads and things like that to communicate. What I was able to do is I was able to package up my ability to sell and put it into a system, and the system works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So my type of phone book ad, just like the same type of stuff that you teach your real estate professionals, is selling robotically. It's selling on autopilot, and it's a system. It's a system that you can use all the time.
Right.
And doing newsletters and constantly staying in touch, all of that can be put into a marketing system so people are always selling even when they're sleeping.
Right. And you need to also look at your business as a wagon wheel, and you need to say to yourself, I need to set up 7, 10, 12 sources of business that I can rely upon, because if you have 10 sources of business that are bringing in and one of those spokes breaks, the business is not going to collapse. The wheel's going to keep going until you can replace that spoke. And I like to use that metaphor of using a wagon wheel because you're in the center there, or your business is in the center, and these spokes are the ways that you generate new business. Now, I'm not even talking about systems related to operating your business, and people can read Michael Gerber's book. It's phenomenal. You've got to get it if you haven't gotten it already and read it, because that'll talk to you about lots of different systems. I'm focusing on marketing systems, and the marketing systems are the methods that you use to help to automatically generate business so that you can spend your time working with clients and closing deals and getting that throughput of revenue through your business.
I would agree that, see, for me, you know, again, I'm such a huge educator and believer that you can learn anything that you put your mind to and that you're passionate about. If there's any areas that I really excel at, it's devising marketing systems. And frankly, when it comes to managing and stuff, that's not my unique ability. There's a lot of things that I'm all over the place on, and I really heavily rely on my staff and other people that are more talented in those management areas to develop operations systems and manuals and the things like that that we do have and that we do use and that we're constantly trying to improve upon and better in our business. But if there's anything as a testament to marketing is, you know, it wouldn't have mattered if I was the most organized person on the planet with all the operating systems of management and administrative functions and all those, if I at first didn't know how to develop marketing systems into my business to bring me cash flow.
Yeah.
And it's so important. So the wagon wheel analogy is excellent, and I think people literally could draw out a wagon wheel on a piece of paper, fill in the spokes of what's going on, and they can identify what's causing them to fall down and what's causing them not to have, you know, the business where they want it. And I think it's a great analogy.
Thanks. Yeah, that's exactly the way it works, and you need to really think about that. And the nice thing is if you only have one or two spokes going, then think about getting them more going before they start to break on you. Do it, you know, make hay while the sun's shining and get those spokes set up and get your business consistent. And I'll tell you that the majority of your revenue should be coming from your back-end systems. You know, you've got to think of your business as the wagon wheel, and you've got to pursue this.
Yeah, well, you're right. Okay, well, talking about back-end, what do you mean by the term you call residual value in a business? What do you mean by creating residual value?
Well, I use the term called residual value, and it's this. I think I have about 5 minutes or between 5 and 10 minutes left on the tape, so I'll try to go quickly.
Okay.
Residual value is a simple concept. You know, you have to ask yourself, why is everybody in business? Why are you in the business? And the reality is, if you'll read Michael Gerber's book, the reason why you're in business is it's supposed to support your personal life.
Right.
We are really in business to give ourselves more life, not take it away.
Exactly.
So the term residual value is a question I use, which is this. What is the value of your business without you attached to it? And most people say the value of my business without me there doing everything, guiding everything, doing all, is zero. And that's what I'm getting at. If your business is totally dependent upon you instead of systems, then when you go away or when you try to sell it or when anything happens where you're trying to get away from it, you're going to have a very difficult time. And that's what I mean by residual value. When you have marketing systems set up and you've systemized the rest of your business and you have a consistent, predictable flow of income that doesn't rely on you always being there to get it, you have now created residual value in your business. I say this to real estate agents. I say, can you imagine a real estate agent having developed a practice that operates almost so automatically that they could actually sell it? I mean, people think, sell it. If I go out of business, I'll just close my business down.
Yeah.
Sell it. And that's the truth with a lot of businesses. And the one element that will create residual value for your business is a predictability of income. And if you have a predictability of income in your business, even if your systems below that aren't working so well, by God, you've got a valuable business that has residual value to it. You can sell the thing for $1 million or $2 million or $100 million, whatever it is. But that's what I mean by residual value.
Yeah, and that's what everyone should strive to develop and create. So, well, let me ask you the last thing then. What is the dynamic of reciprocation and why is it so important to anyone's business growth and income? I think you're the perfect person to talk about reciprocation.
Let me tell you a quick story that has to do with reciprocation because it relates everything to do with critical mass or step 3 of your business, working the back end. There's a book everybody ought to get. If you have not gotten this book, go out and find it. It's difficult to find. There's a guy who's an ASU professor up in your neck of the woods, Joe. His name is Robert Cialdini, and he wrote a book called Influence. And you must get that book and understand that there are 6 different ways that people are influenced. And one of them is called reciprocation. And Robert Cialdini in that book tells a story about the Hare Krishnas when they were trying to raise money in the airport. You know, the Hare, Hare.
Yeah, that, you know what's so funny? I tell that story right from the book Influence in my one-day seminar, which I don't, actually, I know you didn't know that because you probably would have mentioned that, but it's so funny how like minds think alike. And so go ahead. No,
well, what happens is the Hare Krishnas needed to raise money quick. Like anybody, they needed money. Oh, boy, even the people who say they don't want money, they needed money. So what they did was they'd go into the airport and do their chanting and hope people will throw a nickel into the pot and give them some money. They found out the hard way that nobody gave them any money, and they were practically going broke until they realized that if they simply give out a gift, and what they gave was they used to give out daisies. They just hand you a daisy. And by the simple act of giving something to you, people were naturally, culturally obligated to give something back. It was a tremendous thing. And what they found is that they raised millions and millions of dollars just by giving out these damn daisies. And what they found out was that we live in a culture, I call it the, if I open the door for you in a vestibule, you're going to be obligated to open the door for me as we go through. Because we live in a quid pro quo society. And what the Hare Krishnas figured out also, though, was that they found out when they handed someone a daisy, someone had put a buck in or 50 cents or whatever, and then they'd walk down the airport about another 20 yards and they'd throw the thing in a trash can. And so they had one of these Hare Krishnas that would always sit by the trash can and pull out the daisies and bring them back up so they could recycle the daisies and keep getting more business that way.
And another thing that they found out when he was studying this is that people would give a gift of money, a donation for the flower that they didn't even want in the first place.
Exactly.
And so reciprocation can be created by giving people a gift that they don't even want in the first place. And I tell, you know, the people that I teach marketing to that imagine using the same principle, doing nice things and giving things to people that actually do want what it is that you have to offer, how much more it adds to it. So it's proven.
And here's the other thing, Joe, that you can also find out. The value of the gift is not related to the value of the reciprocation. So in other words, they're giving out daisies and getting a buck apiece for them. You could be getting, if you're a real estate agent, I always tell them, you know, wouldn't it be great to share a special report with your people or to give them a gift or a magazine subscription or something that's not even expensive. It's the mere act of the giving. You don't need to spend money on this. You just need to show people that you care and that you're giving them something in their mind that's a perceived value. They will reciprocate back to you. Then when you program them subtly with your back-end promotions that you like referrals and you like things like that, they'll know exactly how to respond to your reciprocation.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
It's brilliant marketing. People always need to think about that. Always give gifts to your clients. Give gifts before the transaction, after the transaction, and the value of the gift is irrelevant to what you'll get back for it.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what, Craig, the tape has been packed full of killer business advice, a lot. I mean, this is really one of the best interviews I've done recently, and I learned a lot myself just from listening to you, and it reminds me of the concepts that me and you spend so much of our time investing in and teaching other people, and it's great. And so what I'd like to do at this point, is there anything else that you'd like to say or any famous last words or anything?
Well, we don't have much time. I'm looking at my tape here, and it's getting off quickly. But one of the things I want to tell everyone is give more than you get. You always hear that. That's trite and cliche. But I want to tell you, give before you get it. And everyone says, yeah, you want to give what you get. And I believe you need to share your knowledge, share your value, and give people more than they expect, but give more than you get, and give it before you get it. That's the first thing I'd like to say. And the second thing is that successful people in this world differentiate the important from the unimportant. And I learned that by working with a group of guys that were multi-millionaires and very successful. And I realized that in your business and in your life, you need to differentiate what's important from unimportant.
Yes, yeah, I can agree with you more. And as a matter of fact, what I'm going to do in the future, for those of you that are members of my Piranha Mastermind coaching program, I'd like to ask you, Craig, to be a guest speaker on one of the future calls that I do.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be happy to do that for your coaching program also, because you've got so much to share, and I really do appreciate it. And what I'd like to do for any of the listeners that are in the real estate industry or have friends that are in the real estate industry, I highly recommend and encourage anyone in that business to get Craig's information. It is top-notch, and it will teach you a lot of stuff, and clearly you can see how bright of a guy he is from listening to this interview. So, Craig, if people want information about your real estate services and the marketing stuff that you offer, how do they get a hold of you, or give out the website or whatever, phone number, any contact information you'd like to give out?
You can reach our website at www.3-steps.com, or you can call our offices at 1-800-622-2540. Or you can see one of our ads in real estate publications. We do a lot of advertising and lead generation and things like that. We practice what we preach.
Great. Great, great. Yes, you absolutely do. All right, well, with that said, Craig, thanks. This was a fantastic interview.
Pleasure was mine. I enjoyed talking with you, and I hope everybody gets great value out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And this is one of the tapes that I'd recommend the listeners listen to over and over again. There's a lot of nuggets of information, and I'm definitely going to be listening to this tape several times myself because it's great information. So let me know what you thought of the interview. Until next month, eat your competition alive. You know how to get a hold of me. Keep me posted, and we will continue to provide you with killer interviews just like this one with Craig. And as a matter of fact, Craig, I'm going to again ask you to do another interview down the road because I know there's a lot more we can talk about. So
there's a lot more we didn't cover, but I'd be happy to do that.
Great, thanks. And so to all my listeners, thanks. Go out and have a killer month, and I'll talk to you next month. Take care.